He's not good, he's great.
The reason I said that, because it reminded me of what one of Brother Jim Reeves' members there said during the revival one week. She was coming out, and Brother Jim says, "Ain't God good?" She looked, and she was short, and she looked up to him, because he was up here, and she was there, him. She looked at him like he was crazy. She says, "No, he's not. God's not good. God's great." Brother Jim says, "Excuse me, I'm sorry." Yeah, he is great. Oh, me, I tell you. You know, it's good to where we can be able to come to church and just talk among ourselves about different things that's happening and going on. But you know what? I believe we need to, most of all today, we need to get so excited about going to church. I really believe that with all my heart. Because today we mainly look at it as a drudge, where we just think it's, we got to go to church again tonight. Got to go this Wednesday night. You know, like we say it like we don't really want to go, we don't want to be there. But I can remember the time right after I first got saved, and hadn't been with a couple months. I told my wife, I said, "When are we going to have church again?" It'll be on a Monday. She said, "Well, it's going to be Wednesday." I said, "When are we going to have a revival again?" I mean, I was excited. I've always wanted to be in church. I always have since the day that I got saved. Back then, I got excited. I mean, I got excited because, I mean, I'd tell everybody on the job and everything where I worked at, and they said, "What you going to be doing tonight?" Because they want to come out to the house or something like that. I said, "I'm going to church tonight." "Well, you just went last night." Says, "How many nights do y'all have it?" I said, "Well, this week we're going to have 5 nights." I said, "But I just soon have 365 nights a year, all the time." And I said, "Then that way I won't have to worry about getting in trouble with the devil." But, you know, times pass, and we think that we get to the point that we know it all, and we get to that point in our life that we know it all, and we don't need the church that much anymore. But we need the church more today than we ever have before in the past, because that's what the over in Hebrew, in the book of Hebrews, 10, chapter 10 and verse 25, the latter part of that, that's what that's speaking about. It says, in the times coming, I mean, in the latter days, that we need to be more and more in assembled together in God's house. But it looks like it's less and less. Less and less people. Why? Because the people that we come in contact with, they don't see the excitement in our lives. The excitement of going to church. You know, that right there is something that we really all need to get to do. And I think if we get excited, we can see more things happening. But you know, I know that we're living in that day and time. We're living in perilous times. In Timothy, where speaking about, you know, the perilous time, men, lovers of men, and women, lovers of their own, and women, and all that, and everything, and the lust of the eye, and all of that. But you know something? The Word of God today, and it was written back hundreds of years ago. Matter of fact, maybe 1,000 years ago, because God says His Word is settled there in heaven. So if His Word is settled there in heaven, and we have what we call the closest thing to that, and we also have it settled too. We should not have it settled in our heart. But just like someone told me the other week, says, you know, no, people just want to water down the Bible. They want to water down the scripture. How true that is. They want to water it down to suit their sin, to suit their fancy. But, you know, I have a saying here, and I have it in front of this. I think I have it in front of this one. Yeah, the gospel is meant to change the sinner, not for the sinner to change the gospel to suit their sin. But the latter part of that, that's what we're seeing today. People today, they don't believe, even preachers today don't even believe the word of God anymore. You have some that tell you, say, oh, there's no hell. All that I've been preaching for all these years about hell, it ain't no such a thing as hell. It says, because God is a God of love. I says, yeah, he's a God of love, all right, but why'd he kick Lucifer out of heaven? And what did he tell him? He says, he created hell. Who? For who? The devil and his angels. He didn't create it for mankind. But mankind is allowed to go on. But the excitement of going to church, we can see that. Turn to your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and start reading that over verse 19. And I hope and pray that the Lord would help me with this, because it's been a while since I've even looked at these verses on the way that I'm going to look at today. But, you know, even the disciples that Jesus had following him, which Jesus chose his own disciples, we know that. And we know that some of the disciples, that where Jesus says is, the one that's going to betray me, going to kiss me on my cheek. I mean, that's not word for word, but that's what he meant. That's what it means. He going to betray me. But when he said that, Judas there, no doubt, his eyes got fixed on Jesus. His eyes got fixed on the Messiah right then. Because he knew that he was going to sell him out. He knew that he had to. Because I believe with that time that he had already received his 30 pieces of silver. That had already paid him off. They've already hired him to do the assassination of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that no one could take his life. Even he himself could not take his own life. He was just obeying what the Father had ordered him to do when he left heaven. He had his orders when he left heaven, what he had to do, who he had to meet with, where he had to go, who he had to speak to, and everything. He had his orders. And each and every order that he went and he accomplished, he always said, not my will, but your will, Father. Not my will, but your will. And that's what we need to do. We should go to him and say, it's not my will that I do this, but it's the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. And we see right here in verse 19, in chapter 20, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The disciples right here, they was assembled together, but they was getting nervous because of the Jewish people was coming by, and they were going to have to end up meeting them, and they were going to probably have to end up explaining some things to the Jewish people here, because they would fear, you know, because it was the Gentile and the Jewish people, they were completely different. The Samaritans, they was the one that really basically loved God. They was the one that was there with God at all times. But we also see right here, as we go on, we'll see where he's speaking about one disciple. After he done spoke about Judas, he speaks about another disciple here. And what that disciple is doing, and what that disciple has forgot in times past, and everything the Lord Jesus has taught him. And it says, and when he has said, so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That right there tells me that that's the only time, that's the only way that we're going to ever recognize who Jesus is when we get to heaven. It's because of the nail prints, because of the scars that we put upon him. It's the only time. No one else there is going to have a scar like that. No one else is going to have a scar in a palm. No one else is going to have a scar upon the forehead. No one's going to have a scars in the feet when it was crossed. No one is going to have the scar of the sword that pierced his side. No one else but him. Oh, yeah, we may have scars. We may have a little scar like, you know, I don't know, but we won't have them type scars. And I know the people today, they've had the hand amputated. They've had their fingers cut off. But even with all of that, when they get to heaven, they're not going to have no amputated hand. They're not going to have no finger that's been cut off. Why? Because they're going to have the glorified body. And just think about that now. The glorified body that has no scars, that has no sin. Think about Jesus now. I know he's glorified. I know he's glorified, but he's going to have scars. He's the only one that's going to be there with scars. Even the one that was on his right side, hanging between heaven and earth. The scars that they put upon his body. He's not going to have the scars there in heaven. But Jesus is going to have the scars. And what those scars remind each and every one of us today, that if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for Jesus, hell would be more enlarged, more by day, enlarged every day, which is being enlarged every day. People today, they say, well, if I go to hell, I'm going to be down there with my friends. You ain't going to know if your friends are down there or not. Because the only one that you're going to know is down there is going to be yourself. Because you're going to be gnashing, you're going to be grinding your teeth, you're going to be itching all over because you're going to have the maggots, the worms, and everything all over your body and everything, and they're going to irritate you to the point. And when they irritate you to the point, what is that going to do? That's going to bring back amazing grace. We'll bring back that song. Just You don't have to change your ways. You don't have to change the things that you do. You could have come in that morning, or you could have come in drunk and lost, but you could have got saved that morning and you'd have went out. Lost, but saved. Because they come in lost, but they're still in a way lost because they're lost to the world. The world's got them. And that's where we come in. That's where the excitement of the church comes in. That's when we need to say, well, preacher, I'm going to call so-and-so this week, and I'm going to see a plan. Maybe I'm going to take them out, put a cup of coffee or something. I can remember the times when we used to do that. We'd go by and we'd visit somebody that just got saved. And we talk to them. Me and a Sunday school teacher, we talk to them and everything. And then one of them would always make an appointment with them. How about one day this week? You give me a call, what day that you can go. You let me know. And I'll just meet you. We'll go for a cup of coffee. Yes, I've even bought a meal. It's not mine. It's not my money. Nothing that I have on me is mine. It's all the Lord. And the Lord wants for me to share it with other people. That's just like the gospel. The Lord don't want us to keep the gospel hidden away from other people. That's not the way He wants the church to be run. He wants the church excited. He wants the church to be so excited that the people that's coming by and they can hear the songs of Zion being sung and they can hear the preacher preaching and all of that, and they can go by the church and all of a sudden they get to the next intersection up there. They'll turn around and they'll come back. Come across it and they wonder when he got here and he got out and come on in. They wonder, what am I doing here? I tell you exactly the reason you're here. Because the Holy Spirit got a hold to the steering wheel. Holy Spirit got a hold to your brakes. And it got a hold to your gas pedal. It got a hold to your signal lights. That's the reason you're here. But in the latter part of verse 20 says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They was glad because they saw the Lord. They saw his hands. They seen his side. They seen his foot. And they seen the eyebrows upon his head where had the mark that we had put on him. You know the reason they got excited? Because they was getting excited because they wanted to go and tell him, says, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for putting that all on me. Lord, would you please forgive me? Would you please just forgive me? Yeah, we put them on him. And he was willing to bear every scar that we put there. He was willing to bear it. He did not. The only thing he gave. The only thing he gave up that day was just 3 days. That's what he gave up, 3 days. When he died, they put him in a barred tomb. He didn't need no graveside. He didn't need no tomb. He didn't need no, because he won't go. He just barred it for 3 days. Then the third day, what happened? Mary and Martha and the disciples, that they all come by. Some of them did. And they come by and says, oh no, they done stole him. They done stole him. They took him away from us. What it was. where are you at now? And they run back to get the rest of the individuals to come and see what they saw. They said, he gone back to heaven. And that's exactly where he went. But he did not, when he went back to heaven that time, he did not sit down. He was about ready to sit down. But the father says, son, says, you can't sit down yet. You got to go back. Now, can you imagine one of us having a conversation with God right there? Can you imagine that I went out here, that I sacrificed everything that I had? And then I get to heaven. Then God the Father says, well, Donnie, you can't sit down yet. There's one other thing that you did not do, that I asked you to do and you didn't do it. Now you're going back and you're going to do it. I'd be on my knees, I'd be a begging, because I wouldn't want to go back. And all these people that's on TV said that they done went and they've been operated on and they died and they saw a bright light come from heaven and they was right there with the Lord Jesus Christ in the throne room of God and everything, and they went through the gates and everything, but yet the Lord didn't allow them to stay. The reason the Lord didn't allow them to stay is because they had no death. All them people, I mean, it's people today, they will say anything just to have other people give them a little praise. I don't need no praise. The only thing I need, the only thing that I deserve is hell. That's the only thing that I deserve is hell. I don't need anything. Why? Because my God and my Savior, my elder brother, there in heaven, owns all the banks, owns all the mansions that this earth can look upon. They can say that they are millionaires, billionaires. And I said, well, you know, one of them, one of the big wheels or something, one of the things that I saw this week said that he had just surpassed $25 billion in assets. $25 billion. Now, what in the world is, what can anybody do with $25 billion? What can I do with the unknown? What can I do with the trillions of dollars? What can I do with all of this? With all, I can look up in the sky, and I can look as far as the east is from the west. Look at it all. I said, thank you, Lord. One day, praise God, he called my old lady and said, son, these are inheritance. We will all inherit a whole lot there in heaven. We don't need nothing down here. I don't need a thing down here. I don't need what my parents has got. I don't need what I have built up. I don't need none of that. Only thing I just need a closer walk with the Lord. And I need to get it more excited than I have before in my past. We need to get excited about coming to church. We need to get excited about somebody has given us a name. We need to get excited because somebody has given us somebody's phone number that we can call. We need to get excited because we pick up a phone and we call them. And we just ask them, are you in church? We need to get excited. If we don't get excited, who is? No one else. Why? Because the world out here, they just trying to get the devil excited. And the devil, he does a good job. He gets his crowd excited. He gets his crowd really excited about serving him. Why? Because he has all the billboards out here. And the Christians don't have any billboards out here that promotes Christianity. And say anything about the Lord. They don't do that. And we've got a whole lot of these TV evangelists and these TV preachers on TV. They're not preaching the truth majority of the time. They're preaching down a watered down gospel. And if you don't preach the gospel that includes the blood, then you're preaching nothing. You just out there speaking in the wind, and when that shaft, when the wind comes by the shaft, it just blows everywhere. We need to get excited. Because we got an appointment we got to keep. The Lord Jesus Christ, he kept his appointment. But we got an appointment too. And it's sad to say that this day and time that we cannot leave the doors unlocked. I was talking to Gene, one of Jim Marie's members that was at the Jubilee. And he was telling me, he says, you know, he said, I'm really surprised that Brother Jim is still doing it. But he says, the doors are not locked at the church. He don't even have a door key to fit into the locks at the church. He says, because the church house is supposed to be open for the ones that are hurting. For the ones that just want to come by and just stop by and get along with God. I know we can get along with God anywhere. At home, we should have our own little closet where nobody can speak to us or nobody can talk to us. We're there just to talk to God and listen to him. But he says, you know, I know it's coming. It's coming. It's going to come. It's going to come a time when, yeah, that you'll probably have to end up locking the church. He said, but I'll tell you one thing. It was just me and him there talking. He won't bragging about it, nothing like that. But he said, you know something? He said, but the Lord has really blessed us. We have not had a break-in or somebody to come in and just want to steal something. And he says, you know, anytime during the day, if I'm out and I just feel like it, I need to talk to God, I know that I can go to the church and I can go and I can walk in. And I can turn around and walk out after I pray. I know probably majority of y'all have been saved a lot longer than I have. But can you remember the time when you could come to church and you didn't need a key to walk in? You know, there are still churches today, but they're not in the cities. They're in the country. there in the country that has the large oak trees. Brother James Apple was telling me, he said when he got saved, and he took me and Shelby both by and showed us where the church that he was in, the church that he went to at the time, the way he got saved at. And he says, you see that old oak tree standing right there? And the church was kind of, you know, it was decaying and stuff like that. But he said, that oak tree is still standing today. And says, before we even, we'd drive up and we would park in the parking lot. But before we enter into the church, the men would gather on this side where the tree was at. And the ladies, they would gather on the other side. They would get in touch with God. They would get in touch with God before they even walked into the church. Because they wanted something in the church that they knew if they went in the church like they were, that it was not going to be there. I don't remember, but one time in my life that I went to church and where they gathered on the outside around the big oak tree. The pastor there at that time was Brother Hill up on Kemple Road, Kemple Road Baptist Church. We need to get excited. Are you ready to get excited? Are you? Well, if you're ready to get excited, just leave the church here today, and when you go out and when you meet somebody or when you're getting ready to go to lunch and you go up and you see that waitress there going to speak seat and everything, just tell them, say, I'm saved and I know it. Praise God. You go to church? You go to church? Or you saved? And if you'll ask them, are they saved? A whole lot of them will tell you no. But they'll tell you, yeah, well, I go to church some. I can't go as much as I'd like to. I told the lady, the waitress at the Golden Corral, this past Christmas, when we was over there, I was going up and I was going up there to get me some bread or something, and I was coming back and I seen her back over here in the corner there. She's getting her table ready for the next seating and everything. And I went over there, and she says, can I help you? I said, well, no, but I says, but I sure would like to be able to help you. She says, what? I says, are you saved? She says, yes, I'm saved. I know I can take you right to the place that I bowed on my knees. And I asked the Lord to save me. And I was in church all the time until my grandmother moved to Norfolk. She's down in Norfolk now, going to church, and I'm still up here. But I haven't found a church that was like the church that we went to. And the reason I don't go there no more is because the preacher just preaches just a feel-good message. And she says, I just ain't found one yet. I said, well, I says, I had a tract. I said, I'm going to give you this tract. I said, you may not even know where the church is at. I said, but you're more than welcome to come. And I said, on top of that, I said, I know you're probably thinking about it. I said, well, you're probably thinking to yourself, how would they accept me? Me being black, and they have as a white church. And she asked me that after she had thought about it. She says, I want to ask you something. And she says, please don't take it wrong. But if I was to come and bring my two small children, how would the people receive me? I said, well, I know all the people. And I honestly believe that every one of them would receive you with an open arm. And I says, and furthermore, if I was at a church, pastoring a church, and if you was to walk in it, and no other black was there, and if the people did not get up and shake your hand, and did not get up and welcome you to the services, then that afternoon I'd be done called a meeting for Wednesday afternoon. Because if people in the church cannot receive you, then I don't need to be with them. And I'll leave that church. I said, because you know something? I said, the only thing they see, what they're looking at, they're looking at the outside appearance. We need to look at them the way God looks at them, on their heart, what's in their heart. And if the heart is right with God, and they know that they're saved, and they're not going to come into our church. They're not going to come into God's church where it's nothing but white, and they're going to come in and bring disruption. I know some of them do. They'll come in. They want to bring disruption in the church. But if they're a sincere Christian and been saved and been washed in the blood, they'll welcome you with open arms just like they would anybody else. And more so than the ones that are here that claim to be a Christian. We need to get excited. I think I'm gonna challenge y'all this week. I'm gonna challenge you. And I know each and every one of you. I know some of you. You work, some don't, but you don't stay at home all week either. So this week, make it a point just to speak to the people and just say, sure would love to have you in church. If you're going to church somewhere, no, I don't want to pull you out. And that's not my intentions either. Not my intentions at all. I'm not going to proselyte like a whole lot of churches I hear do. They proselyte. But if that's the only way that Faith Baptist Church can have more people coming in here, then I pray that what we got continue. walk in the truth. Continue speaking the truth. We don't need to have a watered down gospel. Because the people is watering it down. They watering it down to suit their own sin. And these individuals that come up to me, or these individuals that says, well, I'm saved and I've never sinned since I've been saved. You know something? Them people, they scare me. They scare me. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And now, God, we just ask now that you would just be with us the remainder of this day. And Father, we do thank you that not only this is Father's Day, but this is Father's Day of you. You are our heavenly Father. You are also our earthly Father. You are our Father. Yes, you will correct us if we need correction. And Father, the only way that you'll ever correct us is you'll just do it biblically. The way that you see that we need to be corrected. But Father, you doing it for us to make us better individuals, to make us better Christians, better servants, to where people can see Christ in our life. Father, once again, I want to thank you for this special day, Father's Day. Lord, as we look around and we look at the earthly fathers, we don't have many here. It's not but two of us. But Father, my prayer is that the ones that's here, Lord, we would walk closer to you. We would seek you out. And Father, help us, Lord, this week that we can get excited. We can invite people to church. We can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can just say, if you really want to come to church, if you want to see a church where they're excited, you let them come. Just invite them to come. I'm telling you something about the Jubilee, it done something for me. It really did. I know it won't no up and down shouting message. Not for me. But praise God, it touched my heart in a way that I'm not going to allow the devil to defeat me anymore. And my prayer is the devil don't defeat you. As we go today, Father, be with each and every one of us this afternoon. Be with us all week until the next appointed time. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.